Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing there. Again, as I say every week, if you would like to see a PDF of today's sermon notes, you can download those at Eastwood Baptist South Campus's Facebook page. They're right there, okay? And so you can download those if you'd like a PDF to watch along or to follow along with me. So this husband and this wife, they had gotten into a difficult season in their relationship. In fact, their marriage, it had been on the rocks for a while. And nevertheless, they had decided they really did love one another. They wanted to stay committed to one another. They really wanted their marriage to be better. And so when they heard about this seminar that was coming near their hometown, near their neighborhood, they decided to attend. And so there the speaker was talking. He said, one of the most important things in marriage is to really get to know your spouse well. He said, for example, how many of you know what your wife's favorite type of flower is? And the husband, he leaned over to his wife and he whispered, it's gold medal all-purpose flower, right? You see, marriage, guys, is sometimes like baseball. You swing and you miss, okay? But you never give up trying to hit that home run. Ted Williams, one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game, one of the best hitters of all time, he said that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. And you know what? That's actually been proven by science. But marriage oftentimes is even harder than hitting a baseball. Marriage is blessed, but marriage is hard sometimes. But here in Ephesians 5, like we talked about last week, we see two things that will make all the difference in the world. And those two things, as we saw last week, are submission and sacrifice. Wives, according to the word of God, are called to respectfully submit to their husbands. And husbands, according to the word of God, are called to lovingly sacrifice for their wives. Now, most of the marriage problems would be solved if each spouse did what they are called to do. But you may be thinking, Ben, come on, Ben. Dude, that's really hard. And I want to just empathize with you because it is by the power of our flesh. But as I said last week, God helps us in two ways. In one way is that he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us internal power to do what he's called us to do. He's not left us to ourselves. He grants what he commands. But secondly, he commands also our spouse to make it easier for us. So both husbands and wives, we see here in this text, they both get commands. And if each spouse will do what he or she is commanded to do, then it actually makes it easier for the other spouse to do what God has called them to do. And so last week, we called husbands to make it easier for their wives to respectfully submit to them by being a spirit-filled husband who lovingly sacrifices for his wife. So husbands, if you missed that one, if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back, check out the video or the audio of that to get just caught up on what the Word of God says about for your life. And likewise, a wife, as we're going to get into this morning, is supposed to make it easier for her husband to lovingly sacrifice for her by doing what God has called her to do. And when both husband and wife do that, marriage is much easier. It's always blessed. But when we do these things, it's much easier. So we looked at husbands first last week, although they actually come second in the text, because husbands are called to be the leader of the home. That's why we looked at husbands first, okay? But this week, we're going to look at wives and what God has to say. So I invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. As I said last week, know that modern culture does not dictate what should be. Contemporary culture cannot tell us what should be. That's the Word of God, right? That's what God's Word is for. God is the authority, and His Word is the authority. So we should believe what God's Word says and do what God's Word says. Let's look at what God's Word says there. Verse 22 in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, So also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's pray together. Father, we come and we have read your word here. And God, we ask now that you would come, now that we've read it, to help us understand it. Because there's a lot of confusion, a lot of conflicting views on what this means. Father, help us to understand it. And then, Father, I pray that you would help us to rejoice in what's written here. Help us to love what's written here. Help us, Lord, to do what's written here. Father, as we said last week, it is so hard for a husband to lovingly sacrifice for his wife based upon his flesh, but by the power of his flesh. And the same thing is true for a wife to respectfully submit to her husband. But God, we don't want to live by the flesh. Please send your spirit, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and grab your seat right there. So I want to skip down to and read verse 32 and 33 this morning because they're important. I don't want to miss those because it connects back in. He talks about wives for a moment, then he goes to husbands, and then he kind of comes back together. And so I don't want to miss 32 and 33. It says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying to you that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So today's takeaway out of all of that is this. Make it easy for your husband to sacrifice for you by being a spirit-filled wife who respectfully submits to her husband. Now in our text today, it's going to get six powerful ways here. Six powerful ways, six motivations to respectfully submit to your husband. And each one, as I've said all along, makes it easier for him to lovingly sacrifice for you. First, our text calls wives to submit to the Spirit. I've already said this, but you need to understand it again. This is not a flesh thing, right? If you're going to do this by the power of the flesh, you're going to fail. The gravity of your depravity is just too strong. Your sin nature is like trying to swim sometimes with concrete shoes on, okay? Concrete shoes. You're going to sink eventually. So you need something more than you, and that something is the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why it's so important for us to not disconnect the teaching here on husbands and wives from the teaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit just before it here in Ephesians 15 through 21 here in chapter 5. In fact, you need to understand that this is inextricably linked to that passage because the word submit is not actually even in verse 22. The word submit is actually not even there. Now, it's implied, but it's not explicitly there. The Greek literally reads this way, and wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so at verse 22, there's no verb there in the Greek. So where does the verb come from? Well, it comes from verse 21. Look at verse 21, Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Paul literally says, and wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. So this teaching on husbands and wives, and wives especially, is totally connected here to this teaching in verses 15 through 21, where we learn that submission is a fruit of being filled with the Spirit. Let's look at it again, third week in the row, but we want to get this in our brains. Verses 15 through 21, the Word of God says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. There's the primary teaching here in that text right there. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another, and here comes the fruit. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So clearly here, the submission, wives, that God has called you to is not a work of the flesh. Your flesh will battle against it with everything it has. This is a work of the Spirit. It's the fruit of being Spirit-filled. And so I call you, along with God, to be filled with the Spirit and to submit to the Spirit way before you ever consider submitting to your husband. And when you do this, you not only honor God, but you also make it easier for your husband to lovingly sacrifice for you. Second, our text calls wives to submit to the balance of the Bible's teaching. All right, now I want to make sure that we cover this because in the wake of the feminist movement, that the idea of a woman submitting to any man, even to her husband, it's a reprehensible idea in that mindset. Submission is basically seen as a four-letter word. It's a dirty word. And so culturally, the water that we've been swimming in, it's been tainted with worldly thinking, secular thinking, ungodly thinking, godless thinking even. And men and husbands, listen, we've been tainted as well, right? Many husbands, think about in the past and stories you've heard or maybe even experiences that you've been through, treated wives as best like a child who is to be obedient and is to be disciplined when disobedient. I mean, I've literally heard stories in the past of husbands taking their belt off and spanking their wife like a child. And this is just a generation or two ago. I mean, that's twisted. That's sick thinking. And that's at best sometimes in the past with what men and husbands have thought and men and husbands have done. Sometimes, at worst, wives are treated as property. They were treated as a slave to just do whatever he commands. And again, guys, that is twisted thinking. That is not biblical thinking. And so with so much misunderstanding about what submission is, it's important here for us to sort of list out, to flesh out what submission is not. Okay? So I want to list here a few things that submission is not. And first, it's this. Women are not to submit to every man. This is very crucial for you to differentiate in your mind. You see, we often come to this text and we misread it and think that this applies to every man-woman relationship, but that's just not the case. The Bible never tells a woman to submit to every man simply because she's a woman and he's a man. The Bible is very specific. The only person a woman is to submit to simply because she's a woman is her husband. Now, certainly there are others that the Bible tells us and calls her to submit to on this earth, like her father when she was a child, or like governing authorities, or like her employer, or like her church pastors, it says in Scripture, but men have to submit to those people as well. So the only person a woman is to submit to simply because she is a woman is her husband, the man that she is in a one flesh union with. She does not have to submit to the neighbor man or to the coworker man or to this random man. God has called her in her womanhood to submit only to her woman. That's the only man that she is called to submit to. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that women are to submit to every man. Secondly, it's important to understand that wives are not the only ones who submit. This is not a woman thing, okay? Every human being is called to submit to somebody. As children, we submit to parents. We all have to submit to police and governors and presidents, even when we don't want to, right? To our bosses, to our teachers, to our principals, again, to the pastors that God has placed over this church. And most of all, every one of us is to submit to God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So friends, there's only one being in the entire universe that never submits, and that's God himself. So submission is not a wife thing only. Submission to her husband, now that's a wife thing. But everybody except God is called to submit to somebody. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are the only ones who submit. Third, we need to rightly understand that wives are not lesser than husbands. Wives aren't lesser than husbands. In our culture, submission somehow has become to communicate lesser than. But that's not what the Bible envisions when it calls wives to submit to her husband. Now, you look all throughout Scripture, the Bible envisions that man and woman, husband and wife, they complement each other. Now, not like, oh, honey, you are smoking hot. Not like that. Not compliment with an I, C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T. I'm talking about compliment with an E, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. Compliment with an E means to complete something else or to make it better. Husbands and wives are better because of one another. So maybe a good way to remember this word is to think not just about the word complement, but the word in this way, completement. Isn't that what old Tom Cruise told Renee Zellweger back in the day? And Jerry Maguire, you complete me. She said, shut up, you had me at hello, right? Y'all remember that? But that's exactly what God has in mind here. Husband and wife are to complete one another. Husband and wife, and this is most vivid in the sexual union between a husband and a wife, but it's supposed to manifest in every single aspect of their life. What he's lacking, she's supposed to fill up. And what she's lacking, he's supposed to fill up. And so just a few verses later in verse 31 here in Ephesians 5, we saw last week that Paul quotes the book of Genesis after God created Eve and gave her to Adam in the first marriage. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So it's a one flesh union. To understand this, I want you to just picture for a moment a human body. Let's say that you're in anatomy class and you're looking at all the organs of the body. The skin's been peeled away and you see just those organs there. I want to focus on two organs. I want to focus on the heart and the brain, okay? Now, they're in a one flesh union, right? They depend on one another. The heart needs the brain and the brain needs the heart, yet the heart submits to the brain. But does that make the heart lesser? And the answer is no. Both are essential, both are important, and both are beautiful. The heart's not lesser because it submits to the brain. They're simply fulfilling God's design for the body. And the same is true for husband and wife. They're in a one flesh union. They depend on one another. They're both essential, important. They're both beautiful. They're made in the image of God, and God has endowed each of them with amazing gifts. But wives have been called, have been designed by God in this relationship to submit to their husband. And so that's not because the wife is lesser. It's because that's God's design. So, beloved, it's glorious, it's wise, it's blessed. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that she's lesser. It also means, number four, that wives are not doormats. Or D, wives are not doormats. Now, unfortunately, guys, that's the picture that the culture often has about wifely submission. Just lie down and let your husband walk all over you. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Just last week, what do we see in Ephesians 5? We're talking about the husband. Husbands are to love their wives and sacrifice for their wives. They're to cleanse their wives. They're to nourish and cherish their wives. Nobody ever cherished a doormat. But a wife is to be cherished. She's to be held dear. She's to be treasured. So biblical submission for a wife doesn't mean that wives are doormats. E, it means this. Wives don't have to agree on everything. Amen? Amen. They're afraid to amen. In fact, they didn't agree with me that I just... right? Submission does not mean you got to agree with every opinion your husband has. You don't have to agree with every decision that your husband ultimately leads your family into. Even on things as fundamental and serious as the Christian faith, God has given wives a mind. You have to think, right? You're a person. You're not a machine. Yeah, you're in a one flesh union with your husband, but you are a unique individual with unique perspectives, unique desires, and there will be times that you disagree with him. Now, listen to me carefully, though. It's in those moments when you disagree with your husband that it's really gonna prove whether or not you're trying to live out the text here. Because the proof of submission is not found in moments of agreement. Let me say that again. Proof of submission is not found in moments of agreement. It's found in moments of disagreement. You say, I want us to do this. And the husband says, no, I really want us to do that. So you won't always agree, and that's okay. But as long as what your husband's decision is, as long as it's not ungodly, then the Bible here calls you to submit to his leadership. And finally here, what is submission? What is submission not? Well, number six, wives are not to throw out their brains and tongues. That's not what submission is. Wives, you're to wield intelligence. You're to wield influence. It's often said that while husbands are the head, as it says here in the text, that wives are the neck that support and turn the head. And so, guys, wives are to be strong, active participants in marriage, like that Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31:10 says, an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. They're to use their brains. They're to use their tongues. Listen, I mean, husbands, a husband would be utterly stupid to not consider what his wife has to say. And I'll even go a step further than that. Husbands who don't consider what his wife has to say is actually not just stupid, he's sinful. Because God has called us to cherish our wives, to prize our wives. And so wives are to give input and to share her heart and her mind, bringing perspective that the husband often doesn't naturally see. And so a wise husband leader will consider what she has to say and lead with her in mind. And so submission doesn't mean that wives are to throw out their brains and their tongues. They're to wield intelligence and they're to wield influence. And so we consider here all the things that submission is not. We see that submission is not a dirty word. Now it may be a hard word, but it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you understand what biblical submission is and what it's not, and then do it, you not only honor God, but you also make it easier for your husband to lovingly sacrifice for you. Third, our text calls wives to submit as part of your obedience to Christ. So wives, this isn't only a fact. This here is a motivation. If you desire to honor Christ and obey Christ, and I've never met a godly wife that doesn't want to do that, then submit to your husband. It's a choice that you have to make. Because here's the deal. Your husband cannot make you submit to him. If he tries, then guess what? He's not being a godly husband. So you have to decide. Do I really want to honor Christ? And if the answer is yes, then submit to your husband. Look at verses 22 through 24 again. I want to read it again just to get this in our brain, how this connects. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And yeah, I get it. There are days, wives, that you look over at that man that you married and think, I married the frog instead of the prince, you know? Because there are days that he's not worthy of following. Ben Simpson, there are days that I'm not worthy of following. But your husband is not your motivation, your ultimate motivation. Christ is. And on those days when your husband is not at all worthy of being followed, Jesus always is. So biblical submission means that first and foremost, that you are submitting to Jesus when you submit to your husband. And when you submit to your husband, you're honoring Jesus. You're being obedient to Jesus. And when you do this, you not only honor Jesus, but you also make it easier for your husband to lovingly sacrifice for you. Fourth, here in the text, wives are called to submit to honor God's design. Honor God's design. And we already talked about this a little bit, but breaking news, we live in a confused age, don't we? We live in an age when every institution, every truth is being attacked. Everything, the word of the day is deconstruct, tear down. Isn't that what we hear? Tear down capitalism, tear down the family, tear down the patriarchy, tear down, tear down, tear down. Even down to the thought of defining what a man and a woman is. It doesn't get more basic than that. Yet we witness all around us people who are intellectually insane. And I say that they are truly intellectually, not actually insane, but intellectually insane, telling us that men can be women if they want to be. And women can be men if they want to be. We even see a really popular organization called Black Lives Matter declaring in their What We Believe section on their website that they are committed to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. That's in their What We Believe statement. They want to disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. And here's what they fail to recognize, and the greater society as a whole, is that the nuclear family is not Western prescribed. It's God prescribed, the West and the East for that matter. Merely reflects what the Bible teaches and what's written in the heart of human beings. And so the society around us, it wants to tear down every what they have deemed essentially sinful and harmful structures. They want to tear those things down. But here's the deal. Marriage is not one of those things. There are harmful and quote-unquote sinful structures in our society. There are, there have been, and there still are today. But marriage is not one of them. Marriage is not the creation of society. It's the creation of God. Marriage is not a product of fallen humanity. It's the product of holy God. And the same can be said here, y'all, of wifely submission. Many today, they want to throw off the quote-unquote patriarchy. And we certainly should. Every single way that the patriarchy, whatever that is, does not reflect God's design for life and marriage, right? Every aspect that God's design is not reflected, get rid of it. But wifely submission is not a product of the fall of humanity into sin. Sin marred it. Sin twisted it. Sin caused it to be more difficult. But as John Piper said, he said, sin didn't create headship and submission. It ruined them and distorted them and made them ugly and destructive. But that didn't erase God's design. We don't throw out the baby with the dirty bathwater. We live in God's design. And praise God. Praise God that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again to redeem marriage so that it would be what God created it to be. That God's design would be lived out in these things, these structures, these institutions that God created for our flourishing would actually bring about flourishing. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead to make that possible. And so when wives submit to her husband, she honors God's design. And you also make it easier for your husband to lovingly sacrifice for you. Fifth, our text calls wives to submit in everything godly. Submit in everything godly. Now notice verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now it doesn't say here that wives are to submit when they want to. Submit when it's convenient. Submit when it's easy. Submit when you agree. Just like last week, it didn't say husbands, sacrifice when you want to. Sacrifice when it's easy. Sacrifice when you agree. It didn't say that for husbands. And in the same way, it doesn't say that here for wives. No, they're to submit in everything. You are to respect your husband. You're to submit to your husband. He's your head. submit to him in everything like Christ submits, or let me say this the other way, submit to him in everything like the church submits to Christ. There's a reason why he gave us that illustration here. When does the ministry and the mission get all messed up? The answer is when the church doesn't submit to Christ. Haven't we seen that across the board? When the church is not submitted to Christ, it gets wonky, it gets weird, it gets way off the rails and gets all messed up. And when does marriage and when does the family get all messed up? When the wife doesn't submit to her husband. But it's also important to note here that Christ would never call the church to do anything ungodly. Christ would never ask the church to do anything ungodly, and a husband shouldn't either. But here's the deal. Husbands aren't always like Christ. You don't have to amen that. It's just true. It is just true. Therefore, a wife should submit in everything godly. Okay? If your husband, ladies, if your husband ever tried to make you choose between following him and following Jesus, choose Jesus. You are right to choose Jesus. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Choose Jesus. Your husband is not your Lord and Savior. So if your husband ever tries to lead you to sin, if he ever tells you to go rob a bank, let's throw it way out there, right? Don't do it! Or let's get more practical here. If your husband tells you, do not go to church. Do not take the kids to church. And that happens all the time. Particularly with wives who are married to a husband who's not a Christian. Don't follow that. Follow Jesus instead. Or let's say that he tells you to do something sexually that's ungodly. Follow God instead of your husband. Or let's say again, let's just be practical here. Let's say that he tells you to cut off all ties with your parents. Don't follow, whatever the case may be, right? Know that Jesus always carries the trump card. Jesus always holds pride of place in your heart. And so when your husband's asking you to follow him into sin, feel free to obey Christ instead. But in everything godly, submit to your husband. And when you do this, you not only honor God, but you also make it easier for your husband to lovingly sacrifice for you. Finally, this morning, our text here calls wives to submit to glorify Christ and the church. Now, I'm not going to belabor this point because I hit it hard last week. So if you missed last week, go back and check out the final point of my message from last week for a fuller understanding of what I'm talking about here. But I'll just suffice it and summarize it in this way to say this morning, your marriage, ladies, is about more than your marriage. Look at verse 32 here. Paul wraps up this teaching for husbands and wives and says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And so what it basically is saying here, what he's basically saying is that your marriage glorifies Christ and the church. When wives respectfully submit to their husbands and when husbands lovingly sacrifice for their wives, Christ and the church are glorified. When we do this as God's called us to do, the world around us can clearly see a tangible demonstration of how Christ relates to the church and how the church relates to Christ. So wives, this should be a big motivator for you. Just like last week, it was a big motivator for husbands. The fame and the glory of Christ and the church is magnified through a godly marriage. So I say to you, sister, won't you sacrifice to glorify Christ and the church? You know, most little girls, they fantasize about being a princess. That just seems to be across the board so many of our daughters. Now, some of them don't, but it's very common for a little girl to fantasize about being a princess and one day marrying a prince who will one day be a king. And she will one day be a queen. I want you to understand this morning, ladies, there are only two ways to become a queen. The first way is that you marry a king. And as I look around the room, ain't no kings up in here. Ain't no kings up in here, trust me. I know y'all. I know me. The second way that you can become a queen is that you treat the man that you have like a king, because ultimately you serve King Jesus. When treated like a king, it makes it easier and motivates a husband to treat you as a queen. Again, God calls a man to treat you like a queen. But we're to make it easier for him to do that by respectfully submitting to him. So here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May your respectful submission, wives, tear down every barrier to your husband sacrificing for you. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses, where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.